I yield 5 minutes to the gentleman from
Alaska. So we yield jointly 11 minutes to the gentleman from Alaska.
The gentleman from Alaska will be recognized for 11 minutes.
Ask your name, Senator, and invite to extend.
Without objection.
First, let me thank the chairman of the full committee, Mr. Robistar, and the ranking member, Mr. Micah, for bringing this technical corrections bill to the floor. I will be supporting this bill today because it is a good bill. I want to again thank my minority member, Mr. Robistar, when I was chairman. We worked very hard on TLU. It was the only positive piece of legislation this Congress passed in 6 years. When I say positive, it left a part of infrastructure, not all of it, for the good of this nation. And I take great pride in that because it probably created about 185,000 new jobs, $286 billion to be spent for the infrastructure and for the economy of this great nation. And I bring that up because I hear some people talking about, well, we'll repeal the 18.2% tax on fuel to help our consumers out, and then goodbye to the roads, the repair, the new needs for the additional automobiles on these our highways. I say beware. It'd be a terrible disaster for this great nation of ours. We have other ideas about solving the high gas prices, but that is probably the worst I've heard of all. Having said that, I'm going through a chronological order of what has occurred. About the issue in 2001, I became chairman of the House Committee on Transportation, a position I held for 6 years. You know this committee has many as the largest committee in the House of Representatives, with oversight over all modes of transportation, aviation, highways, railroads, all public buildings, waterways, and emergency management. As the only congressman from Alaska, I worked very hard for the state of Alaska. I worked with the governor, state legislature, and local officials. And I can say with great pride we did very well for the state of Alaska, as we need transportation in that state as every other state needs it. As chairman, I was also, and I want to remind people, the responsibility of a chairman is to address the transportation needs in all the country. As chairman, I worked with officials throughout the country, governors, mayors, transportation officials, and of course, all 435 members and delegates of this body. As we prepared for the writing of the National Transportation Bill, members of the House Committee and I traveled extensively throughout the country at the request of House members and state and local officials. For the thousands and thousands of transportation projects requested of us, I visited as many communities as possible to meet with the members, local officials, and public to discuss these requests. In 2004, Florida Gulf President William Merwin commissioned a study of road improvements that would increase the university's ability to cope with hurricane and other disasters. One of the recommendations in the report was for the construction of an on-ramp from Coconut Road to I-75. In 2005, the city of Bonita Springs hired a consultant to determine if the interchange at Coconut Road and I-95 would improve traffic congestion on Bonita Beach Road, Corkscrew Road, O-41 and I-75 and Coconut Road. The study determined that the Coconut interchange would take 9,000 cars off of Bonita Road and Corkscrew Road each day, but add about 6,000 cars per day to Coconut Road. In February 2005, I was invited by a congressional colleague who was a member of the Transportation Committee to his district in Florida to hear the needs and concerns of local constituents. On February 19th, a town hall meeting was held at the Florida Gulf Coast University, whose area also serves as a hurricane shelter. This town hall meeting was attended by more than 200 local constituents, transportation officials, and elected officials. One of the issues discussed at the town hall meeting was the need for a hurricane evacuation route to ensure that people could get to safety more quickly during a national disaster. This project was to be an interchange from the heavily traveled I-75 highway to Coconut Road, which leads to the Florida Gulf Coast University of Bonita Springs. At the town hall meeting, University President William Merwin spoke of the need for a research center at the university that would focus on transportation improvements using new technology. He also presented a study showing the need for the interchange at Coconut Road to help hurricane evacuees reach the two main shelters in South Lee County. The goal was to provide $10 million for a study, not to build, but study this interchange. I'd also like to note, to the credit of the Florida delegation, this area received $81 million for the widening of I-75. This funding was totally justified and important to the area. The $10 million for the Coconut Road study did not take any money away or divert any funds from $81 million allocated for I-75 widening. The $10 million for the Coconut Road was funded separately under the National Highway Bill. Otherwise, it was money above the line. This interchange study had the support of the Florida Coast University, the Technical Advisory Committee, which consisted of city and county transportation experts, and the Local Cities Advisory Committee. The Bonita Springs City Council and the Regional Planning Council staff have also supported the interchange study. The Technical Advisory Committee and Local Citizens Advisory Committee voted unanimously to include the study in the long-range Lee Metropolitan Planning Organization Transportation Plan. Unanimously voted for. Well, I don't agree with this organization's study. However, the Metropolitan Planning Organization voted not to include the interchange study in their long-range plan. They instead wanted to transfer the $10 million to another project, including I-75. While I don't agree with his organization's decision, I respect it. It's important to stress that this study funding did not go to any one person. It did not go to any one group of people. The funding was to go to the state of Florida, where they choose to proceed with the study. This has always been a good project. The residents of this community deserve to have a safe and effective evacuation route for themselves in case of a natural disaster. With Hurricanes Katrina and Rita, we saw firsthand what happens when Americans are unable to get to safety. But for now, I support these residents, and they're wanting to put this money towards another project. I've always supported the community's right to do what they think's best for them. The change is in this technical progression bill, and I support it. So why am I talking about this, other than give the chronological events that occurred? Well, it's very easy. I have been the subject of much innuendo concerning my intent and motivation of this project. These accusations have little of any connection with what actually occurred. I outlined my intent and motivations on this, and it's quite different than what I have been hearing lately about this study. Some of the media have made this study into being about one landowner in the area. Not one word has been mentioned about the hundreds of people who attended the town hall meeting in support of this study, or about the numerous local organizations and officials who supported it. This study was included in the largest national highway bill in history. There are more than 6,200 high-priority projects. Some call them earmarks in that bill. About half of these were sponsored by the Democrats and Republicans in this body. About half were sponsored evenly by Republicans and Democrats on either body. These 6,200 highly priority projects earmarks on the House and Senate totaled 5% of the total highway bill, 5%. Two committees handled this bill, the Transportation Infrastructure Committee and the Ways and Means Committee. Four committees worked on this bill in the Senate. I did not write this bill by myself. There were six committee chairmen, six ranking members, and six dozen subcommittee chairmen and six subcommittee ranking members, members of both parties' leadership, and countless others who played major roles in the legislation. The 6,200 high-priority projects earmarks were requested by virtually every member in this House, other than 14 members of the House, including Mr. Flake. This body had nothing to do with the projects requested by the other body, and they had nothing to do with those requested by this body. This was a massive bill that was not completed until several months after the previous highway authorization already expired. Members and staff were literally working around the clock and who were able to pass the bill in July 2005. As to the debate concerning the process of enrollment of this and other legislation, that is not a process I own or control. There are officers of the House and the Senate whose job is to oversee this process. A committee chairman does not control the enrollment process. I have never been in an enrollment office, and I do not believe any chairman has that right. After all the accusations and rumors about this bill, I hope this sets the record straight. This project was asked for by the community. It was supported by the congressman from that district, and there's letters to back that up. But because of the Senate, and I can speak to the House on this, the Senate is meddling in House affairs. I'm supporting this bill. I welcome, if you want to welcome, an investigation into the House. I will support that, but remember, that is a slippery, slippery road which we're about to be involved in. We have an opportunity, and this bill stimulates the economy, keep our people working. I am going to support this legislation, but keep in mind that Coconut Grove was not my idea. It was created and fostered by the local people of that community. It's not the first time in the enrollment process. Even in this bill, Jacksonville was mentioned in the bill. Well, we didn't know. The Senate and the House voted on it, that there were six Jacksonvilles in this nation. It had to be changed, and it was changed prior to the president going to his desk, and the House never voted on it. And I can go on to the other cases where legislation has been changed by the enrollment process when it is considered not the intent of the House. Not the intent of the House. I thank the gentleman.
Gentleman yields back his time.